Hello, and welcome to Sonoran Desert Institute's School of Firearms Technology's official podcast, The Gun Rack. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Gun Rack, Sonoran Desert Institute School of Firearms Technology's official podcast. I'm Josiah Upper. Folks call me Joey, and with me is one...
Drew Poplin.
There we go. We have Drew Poplin with us. He is here again. You cannot stop him. He is inevitable. Today, we're going to be talking about, we're going to be going into kind of a second parter on everyone's favorite event yearly from a firearms perspective, at least for news, and that is SHOT Show. SHOT Show 2022 is in the books. Happened during January, and last week we spent some time talking with director of marketing Steve Ross, and almost forgot my own boss's name there. That's fun. Steve, please don't listen.
It's bold of you to assume that our boss is actually listening to
this. It is. There's, you can take it for one thing as disinterest, which is very, it's possible, or we can call it an implicit trust in what we do.
I like that a lot better.
And I, as an optimist, I'm going to choose disinterest as their motive for not listening to us. But we also had Jody with us, and they both were present at SHOT Show this year, along with a couple other folks from SDI. Sonoran Desert Institute had a booth at SHOT Show for the first time, although our team has been present at SHOT Show for years and years now. But we got a chance to talk to them about SDI's, their presence there, what that experience was like, what the event, the exclusive event we held was like, and then, of course, some of the cool things that they saw. But we didn't want that to be an excuse to not share some other just cool guns from SHOT Show from our own personal research, take some of those headlines and pare them down for you guys to enjoy. So this coming episode is going to be a top firearms from SHOT Show list. I'm not sure how many it is yet. At the end of this podcast, I probably will, because I have a tally mark. I have several sources open, and we're going to get into that in a minute to give those guys their due credit. But before we do that, we're going to get into the Name That Gun segment. Drew, take us away.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about some older guns before we start talking about some newer guns. Last week, the answer for the first ever Name That Gun segment was the M16. This week we have a brand new firearm, brand new clue. So let's go get started. Clue number one. This firearm was the British Army's standard rifle for 62 years. Clue number two. This firearm is a bolt action. Clue number three. It fires a 303 Mark 7 SAA ball.
That should clue you in right there, fam.
But just in case, we got one more clue for you because we're generous. Last clue. It was replaced by the L1A1 SLR in 1957. If you think you know what it is, hit us up at marketing@sdi.edu with the answer. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have absolutely no idea what this firearm is, what are you doing on this podcast? That's a serious question for you. I'm always out here trying to grow our listener base and audience engagement, but take a look at your life and ask yourself the deep questions.
Man, you're feeling savage today.
Listen, it's easy. There's one gun in the world famous for shooting the 303 British. If you don't know what it is, that very last almost supplemental hint should clue you in.
If you don't know what it is, do yourself a favor. Avoid Joey's wrath. Just go Google the clues. It'll pop right up.
Fine. If you don't know, Google the clues. Avoid my wrath. And then question why you're here. Do, like, while you're questioning, continue to download the podcast, because that's very important. But question why you're here. Is that okay? Yeah. No, that's, I think that's sufficient haranguing for now. Let's get into this.
That's not an official SDI opinion, by the way.
No, that's an official me opinion. And actually, speaking of official me opinions and alienating our audience base, I did want to take a brief second today and thank our audience. We hit 20,000 downloads over the past week, which we're very happy and grateful for, very happy about. This isn't a podcast about that, but there is something I wanted to share with you guys. We've got our top 10 most downloaded episodes. I thought if you had not listened to them yet, maybe you could give them a try. And if you had, I had a couple more that you could check out that you might find interesting. So number 10 is going to be All Things Pistol Caliber Carbine. That's going to be episode 21. Episode 65 is number 8. That's the top 10 best firsthand guns according to the internet. Episode 39 is number 8. The Great Firearm Debates Part 2, 9mm versus 45 ACP. Episode 69 is going to be number 7, the top 7 worst beginner firearms according to IV8888. Number 6, episode 77, top 8 best military surplus firearms you can hunt with according to me. Number 5 is going to be episode 1, Welcome to the Gun Rack. That one's quick. Number 4 is the Gun Rec episode 2, Paul Jackson's story, Sergeant Paul Jackson's story. Number 3 is the worst guns of all time, according to Business Insider. Number 2, episode 71, the top 10 worst beginner handguns, according to me. And number 1, episode 67, the top 10 best first handguns, according to me. So, if you've not listened to those, give them a shot. If you have and you are looking for more, check out our State Official Firearms podcast episode. That one's a lot of fun and worth your time. And if you don't want to listen to any of those and just want to keep listening to the current stream, you can do that too. It's all good. We're happy you're here. Even, well, sort of, if you don't understand the firearm that we are alluding to in the podcast. So now that that's done, we are going to take some time and talk about some guns that popped up in SHOT Show. I'm going to go through these sources one at a time, but just a real quick acknowledgement at the beginning. We're looking at pieces done by Field and Stream, American Firearms, AllForShooters.com, Ballistic Mag, twice, actually. And yeah, that's going to do it for us for sourcing. Whenever I pull quotes for something, I will be sure to give them a shout out. But that's what we're looking at, and we're really excited to share this with you. So number one on our list of top firearms provided or shown off at SHOT Show 2022 is going to be the Kimber R7 Mako, which is a firearm I think is absolutely fascinating. This one made headlines before SHOT Show of 2022, but it definitely got a better look there. It is a interesting and, shall I say, not cute design, very blocky looking firearm. It is a this is straight from Field and Stream, a polymer framed high capacity striker fired micro compact pistol chambered for the 9mm Luger. It's only 1 inch wide, which is always nice. With obviously this is going to be a concealed carry firearm. In this case, we're talking about, when we're talking about dimensions, we're talking about barrel length, we're talking about overall length, width, and of course, height. Width, I think, is the most underappreciated dynamic in concealed carry. It's very easy to get a firearm to jut out or dig into your side if you're carrying inside the waistband. So 1 inch wide is nice. They are offering right now an optics ready version and an optics installed version, which both come with night sights. And it's got an ambidextrous control setup and a flat face trigger, and it breaks between 5 and 6¾ pounds. So that is the Kimber R7 Mako. It's worth a look up online. I know people like to dunk on Mako for their 1911 builds. I don't know enough about this firearm to lampoon on them at the moment, but worth taking your time to check that one out. So here's one with a fun, it looks like the name was mad-libbed together. So I'm going to put these five words out in no particular order. And Drew, I want you to try to put them together in the correct order. Okay. So we have carry, mm-hmm. Korth, K-O-R-T-H, Nighthawk, special, Mongoose.
I feel like you just activated the Manchurian candidate.
Yeah, it does feel like I just recited some sort of incantation. But those are the five words. What order do they go in, Drew? And just for the audience's record, I'm the one with the source in front of me. Drew doesn't have it. So this is an honest to goodness test.
All right. So I'm going with the Korth Nighthawk Special Carry Mongoose.
Ooh. Close. I feel like you got the heart of it down. It is the Nighthawk Korth Mongoose Carry Special. And in fairness to you, I think yours sounds better. Let's do talk about this firearm for a minute, because I think it's really cool. Something that I think is making a little bit of a comeback and will never truly go away is the concept of a concealed carry revolver. People like their subcompact 9mm 380, 40, 45, preferably never 40 Smith & Wesson people, but revolvers have definitely fallen out of that spotlight where they were, of course, dominant for so long. In this case, the Nighthawk Korth Mongoose Carry Special weighs 2.1 pounds. It's got a 6-round capacity, 2.75-inch barrel, and is chambered in 357 Magnum and also 9mm with the optional cylinder. This particular firearm is expensive. The Korth, according to Field & Stream, Korth makes some of the best double action revolvers available, built in Germany, imported by Nighthawk. This carry special is, it has a Hogue grip, adjustable rear sight, a 4-digit price tag, and I'm missing one feature. What is it, Drew? Take a wild guess.
I'm gonna level with you. I was just looking at the pictures of it.
You saw the gun.
Yeah. I take a wild guess. I'm gonna say trigger.
No. No. The I'm not sure that counts as a feature. It has an 18-karat gold bead front sight for no flipping reason, as far as I can tell. I'm sure there's a legitimate one out there, outside of Players Gotta Play. But yeah, it's got a gold bead front sight, according to Field & Stream. It also carries a MSRP of $3,699, which is to say, you could buy two Colt Pythons for the same price as this particular firearm. But if you are looking for obnoxiously high quality, the Nighthawk Korth Mongoose Carry Special might be for you. Just don't try to say their name quickly. The Ruger Wrangler Bird's Head, on the complete opposite side of the spectrum, is one I'm just going to gloss over because it's not really... It's not really a topic I go into really much, but it's in the world of 22LR. And the Ruger Wrangler is extremely popular because it is, of course, very cheap. Anyone who has been to a gun store and looked at the counter has probably seen one. Often, I can recall, at least in the past, there being many Black Friday specials where they go for about $99. And I remember at one point there was a buy a firearm, get one free, and the get one free was a Ruger Wrangler. That doesn't make them not good. They're good firearms. They're it's a 22LR revolver. It's good for plinking, fun for kind of that cowboy feel. And I believe it's just single action, but please don't hold me to that. It is the Wrangler Bird's Head takes the size and shrinks it down into a compact frame. Barrel length is going to be 3.75 inches and capacity is going to be 6 rounds, and it only weighs 1.75 pounds. So I don't know if you would ever want to conceal carry that firearm in particular. The Taurus, or whatever the proper name of it is, the Barkeep, is probably what I would go to if you really wanted to carry a 22 revolver for some reason, which I don't super know why you would, but it's still a really cool option. I could see it being a lot of fun to shoot. And of course, the MSRP is far, far lower than the other one. It comes in at around $279. So that's the Ruger Wrangler Bird's Head.
So you could get 13 of those for the price.
Yeah, that's wow. correct. Just stack them on top of each other. Make a chandelier or a chandelier.
Doesn't really matter if you're firing 22s, if you have 13 of them.
That's true. That's just science at that point.
Listen, if there's one thing that I remember from World War II, which I remember a lot of things, but it's that American production saved the day.
It's true. Smash them with logistics.
So think of the Ruger as the Sherman to the Nighthawk's Tiger, to add another animal to that name.
Yes, it can be from now on the Nighthawk Korth Mongoose Tiger Carry Special. And then later they can come up with the Nighthawk Korth Mongoose Panther Carry Special specifically to counter the Tokarev. And yes. That'll do it. But yes, that is correct. You can buy a dozen-ish of those 22 LRs for the same price as the 357. So here's a really weird one. This is going to be my first off-the-wall weird firearm. Drew, this is kind of your first SHOT Show in the industry. But sometimes you get debut handguns that's like, okay, this is a slightly different thing from what we've offered in the past, and that's okay.
Sure.
Or you get a new concept, like Kimber breaking into the subcompact market.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you get something where it's like, we took this idea and this idea, and we put them together, and it's like, what were you thinking? That being said, I love the idea of this next handgun, and I am going to be looking to pick one up in the near future. If I can get my hands on one, I bet that supplies are going to be limited. Introducing the Smith & Wesson CSX. C as in Charlie, S as in Sally, X as in all of the X-Men. This 1.2-pound firearm can carry 10 plus 1 rounds or 12 plus 1 rounds with an extended magazine. 3.1-inch length barrel, chambered in 9. And it is a micro-compact handgun. Of course, when you think Smith & Wesson concealed carry, or really any pistols, what are you thinking of? You're thinking of the M&P and the Shield. This is neither of those things. It is very different. It looks kind of like an old Colt Mustang or a really weird 1911. This is a aluminum framed, which is something I love, single action semi-automatic pistol, which means it's hammer fired, baby. And it's got a manual safety. Main difference with this pistol and the Mustang, as Field & Stream notes, is that it's chambered for 9 as opposed to 380 auto. It's built with a double stack design that allows you to carry either 10 plus 1 or 12 plus 1 within a slightly extended magazine. It's only 6.1 inches long, only 19.5 ounces. It has reportedly, according to American Firearms, been received with kind of mixed emotions. I can understand why. If you're into Striker, you're into Striker, but I think it's gorgeous. It kind of vaguely resembles the SIG 938. I want one in a bad way. And this is one, if you were to Google only one of these firearms, this is the one I would tell you to check out. If you're like me, you enjoy hammer-fired firearms rather than Striker. This seems like a really cool way to get into that kind of M&P quality market without having to compromise what you're into. So something that should be cool.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. It seems like the MSRP, at least according to Smith & Wesson, is $609. So that's not too bad.
$609?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. And I bet after the initial wave, this is going to be like, for those of you who were around for the Springfield XD hammer fired, what is that called? XDE. The XDE, this, I think it's going to go in a similar dynamic to that. Although I will say this is a far more attractive firearm than the XDE, where I think you might be able to get your hands on some below the MSRP if you're willing to hold out long enough. So that's what I'm going to keep my eye out for. I might save my save up my proverbial chips and go in on that one when I get the opportunity, because that's a, I think that's a great idea. I'm going to go look up some reviews on that when we're done with this, actually. So there's that. And just to wrap up the button on Smith and Wesson for the moment, I'm also going to include, at just kind of as one separate entity, Smith and Wesson's 30 SC models. So Federal Premium has created a new round. It's called the 30 Super Carry. And this is actually the first I had heard of it. Very interesting. I'm going to be doing some looking up on that. 30 Super Carry as a concept, Drew, is something we should probably do a whole podcast about if there's enough source material out yet. It's been a while, a long while, since we've had a pervasive concealed carry cartridge hit the market and really have sustained success. That'd be something very worth looking into. Okay, so 30 Super Carry, Smith & Wesson introduced Shield Plus and Shield Easy variants chambered in that cartridge. That's kind of the theme there. So I'm definitely going to be doing some research on that. I think that is fascinating. Okay, so for our next piece here, and I'm excited about this one because it's very similar to something I've talked about on the podcast before. Those of you who have listened for a while know that I love my Ruger American Ranch chambered in 7.62x39. I think it is an amazing firearm, an amazing platform, and it houses one of my very favorite triggers I have ever pulled, or squeezed, rather. But Mossberg has pulled something out that I think is equally cool. Mossberg's MVP patrol rifle in 300 blackout. So the 300 blackout cartridge is extremely popular, often used as a suppressor hose, while AR pattern rifles have been kind of what people have used for this. This bolt action firearm is going to be something that this suppressor concept could work very well on, theoretically. So the MVP 300 blackout patrol rifle uses, according to Ballistic Mag, standard AR-15 magazines, presumably for 300 blackout, making it easy to share ammo with your battle buddy or hunting partner. That's a direct quote. It's got a threaded medium bull barrel. It's got a pre-mounted Picatinny rail right where you would want one, and a pair of sling studs for accessories. In this line, this concept certainly is not new. It's got an adjustable LBA trigger and carries a second secondary safety built into the shoe. And it is, I think of mine as kind of being the quintessential truck gun. It is very compact, very compact. If you look at it, when I pulled it out last time with my hunting buddies, they couldn't believe that the hunting rifle could be that small and still be effective, making it very good for being portable and all that kind of thing. Of course, make sure to be carrying your firearms and transporting them legally. But that is the Mossberg MVP Patrol Rifle 300 Blackout. I think that's interesting. So an old brand is coming back with a great new firearm. The brand is Bushmaster. Drew, what do you think? Well, no, I'll give you a hint even. What do you think the name of this particular AR style firearm is? I will key you in with the cartridge name. It is the 450 Bushmaster is what it's chambered in. So it's the Bushmaster chambered in 450 Bushmaster, Bushmaster being the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I think Bushmaster, I think of former President George Bush, whose father was also president. So I'm going to say the Gen 3 Bushmaster.
You are close, actually.
No way.
Bushmaster's firearm, chambered in 450 Bushmaster, is called the 450 Bushmaster. Well, it's so dumb. But It's pretty. It is. It's got a 20-inch barrel with a carbine gas system and a 5-round magazine, according to Ballistic Magazine. And it's got an A2 stock and grip set and an M-lock rail. It is 450 Bushmaster is a beast. It is absolutely awesome. So that's worth one worth checking out, rather. So that is definitely one worth an investigation later on. All right. So next on our list is going to be the Live Free Armory AMP. I'm just going to pull this right from Ballistic Magazine because I don't know much about this firearm. It looks very much in the tradition of Glock. The barrels are, or rather, I should say, the slides appear to be ported. It's a very pretty, almost skeletonized firearm. But right from Ballistic Mag, veteran and LE veteran owned and operated Live Free Armory looks poised to make a big move. The company boasts making OEM parts for more than 100 well-known firearm companies, and now they've potentially struck gold of their own with the aluminum-framed Glock-style pistols that incorporate a SIG-esque fire control unit. We got an up-close look at the new AMP by chance walking the floor at SHOT between meetings. This G19, Glock 19-sized semi-auto seriously impressed. AMP stands for aluminum match-grade pistol. But the M could easily mean modular as well. The pistol utilizes a CNC machine fire control unit with an aluminum milled frame. A 1911 style grip angle rounds out a package that features most internals maintaining Glock compatibility. Yes, you heard that correctly. And yes, we're already asking when LFA might sell the frames on their own so we can build our ultimate Glocks at home. So that's interesting. They are purdy. As you guys probably know, if you listen to this long, I'm not really a Glock dude, but I would carry that. Not that what you carry needs to be a fashion piece, but that's one I wouldn't mind showing off to friends at the range. If you can customize the heck out of it, that might be the one that makes me hop into the project there. Drew, while we talk a little bit more about it, can you see if you can look up the Live Free Armory AMP MSRP? So it looks like I'm looking at a fiber optic front sight, but that is me eyeballing it from a photo. There's a lot of Glock killers that have been out here recently. Another one that I'm going to list and say that it counts towards my list of firearms here. The Palmetto State Armory Dagger. The PSA, of course, has been roaring onto the scene for the past few years. The Palmetto State Armory Dagger is essentially, it's very similar to a Gen 3 Glock. Next development of their kind of line is a more compact version. And one, I think, ideally designed for carry. I think it's called a Micro Dagger. I'm pulling that from American Firearms. The price is still $299 with a 15+1 capacity, which is pretty dang impressive. So, another one worth checking out, although the Live Free AMP certainly wins the beauty contest. Yes.
Plus, if you go with the dagger, that means you can bring a knife to a gunfight.
That is very true. Good lampoon.
So, according to the Live Free Armory website, the AMP is starting at $699.99.
$699.99. Okay, so it's going to be a little bit more than your standard Glock. But it's still worth a look, in my opinion. So since we're already on the topic of PSA, I'm going to hop to their other thing that I thought was fascinating. You got the smaller dagger, and then you have them hopping onto the 5.7 by 28 millimeter train, the Palmetto State Armory Rock 5.7, named after one of the company's founders, according to AmericanFirearms.org. Based on the dagger, it's got a 23-round magazine, and the MSRP is an unbelievable kick butt, $499. If you want one with a threaded barrel and slide cut, that'll be $549, which is only $50 difference, which makes it very similar. Ruger 5.7 is, of course, the other kind of affordably priced 5x7, horse bullet hose, and it is That one's been fairly successful as well. I love when I see them in the store. I love seeing kind of the cartridge variety there. 5.7's not the cheapest round in the world, but still really, really cool. This, according to American Firearms, we can expect to see it in approximately 60 days. And I will say that's actually a pretty attractive firearm.
I was just going to say it looks like the gun from Time Crisis.
Yeah, this is the most futuristic of their firearms, I think. PSA doesn't really historically specialize in form as much as it does function. Nothing wrong with that. And affordability. But this one works, I think, for that purpose. So that is the PSA Rock 5.7. Okay, our next firearm is going to be the Springfield Hellion, chambered in 223 Remington. This is a semi-automatic rifle derived from the Croatian HS Produkt BHS-2 assault rifle, according to allforshooters.com. Springfield Armory has been distributing the XD from this Croatian company for forever, which is, as a lot of you know, been the subject of much consternation amongst the firearms community because they're not manufactured in the United States. I'm not here to make a official SDI or even personal take on that. That's not really what we're looking to do here, but that's the background of this firearm. This is a bullpup semi-automatic rifle with a 16-inch barrel, and it is an overall length of 71.7 to 75.5 centimeters, depending on the position of the stock, which is adjustable in length with five fixed positions. Again, allforshooters.com. Gas-operated, two-position adjustable short-stroke piston, so as to ensure operation even when a suppressor is fitted. Again, direct quote. The charging handle is non-reciprocating and is ambidextrous. Picatinny rail is at the top for mounting any kind of optical sights or anything else you want to, really. And the Hellion is fed by Magpul P-Mags 30 rounds, and it's offered at the U.S. This says it's offered at $199, which is categorically untrue. But because they say it's also offered for 1,700 euros. So I'm going to assume they meant 1,999, as in almost $2,000. But be sure to check your things at home. Just to describe this firearm, it looks shockingly like the old French FAMAS, which I always thought was kind of a fun-looking firearm. Drew noted earlier that this particular firearm looked an awful lot like a certain battle rifle in a well-known video game franchise. What was that?
Oh, I think it looks like a little bit either like a Halo gun or something from like Gears of War.
Yeah, it looks, if you subtract, so the gun in Halo does not require a magazine for whatever reason, or rather there's not one visible in kind of its photo. If you added a magazine, well, this gun and that gun would be indistinguishable from each other. But I think it's absolutely fascinating. I love bullpup designs. And I have a friend who is looking to get into the world of firearms and has kind of a big budget for his first gun because he kind of just wants one. And I'm thinking about getting him to take some classes and then look into something like this because I think it's cool. Also, in All Four Shooters is the Petrosoli Borebuster Shadow in 45-70. Not super much to say about this one, except for the fact that it's a lever action in 45-70, which is always, always fun. I love 45-70. I know lots of you do too. And yeah, I just wanted to give that one a shout out as we passed by. Let's look at the next thing on the list. We've got a straight pull bolt action rifle called the BA-30. This one's from Bushmaster. And it is chambered in either 6.5 Creedmoor or 308 Winchester. And again, as I mentioned, it's a straight back bolt action rifle with a spring assisted bolt. You pull it straight back and let go, and it runs forward on its own, which is actually really cool. These are expensive. AR 10 style barrel, handguards, and magazines. AR 15 grip and trigger. 3 pound trigger on this thing, coming out standard according to American Firearms. MSRP $1,800. Let's take a look at the FN High Power. FN has been making a Browning High Power for over 80 years. This is straight from AmericanFarms.org. And has long owned the Browning company names itself. But at SHOT Show, they announced a new stab at the old classic, now branded as the FN High Power. Should clue you into the fact that the gun is different from the original. It's got a lot of nostalgia callouts, such as the keyhole muzzle profile, early thumbprint on the slide, and the same general layout. The High Power's got some other cool stuff going on. It's got a flush fit 17+1 magazine capacity, which means old mags are not going to work. The controls are fully ambidextrous, and it's got the dovetailed FN 509 pattern sights. There are three styles. There's black, FDE, and stainless. If you get a High Power in FDE, I'm not sure what to say about you. This is an old classic. Get it in something that's classic. And have an asking price of $1,200 to $1,300, which, as American Farms notes, will probably be higher due to the demand, and I can't say I blame them. Taurus is whipping out a downsized version of the Heritage Barkeep. I think we referenced that earlier. And the Heritage Barkeep is a great little single action 22 LR. And the Heritage boot, the Barkeep boot, is tiny. It's got a 1-inch barrel. So it moves from the Barkeep from waistcoat carry to boot carry. And American Firearms has a note, don't carry these in one of your boots, please. And I have to agree with them. But it is an inexpensive range toy. And it's less than a 200 MSRP. And I think for something that's fun to derp around with and something to practice the concept of shooting with a short barrel, you could certainly do worse. So here's one that's fascinating, I think. When people think Kel-Tec, they don't often associate it with something like concealed carry. But they're trying to get into the light pistol big capacity competition from American Firearms. And they have introduced the P15 series. It only weighs 14 ounces and boasts a 15+1 capacity out the gate, striker fired. And there's a shorter 12+1 round if you want to do that. It will be offered apparently in both polymer and metal framed versions, and will be shipping out in quarter two of this month. Price is expected to be in the low 300s, which is, of course, pretty sweet. It is not the most attractive pistol in the world. But if you're trying to learn how to shoot and you don't have a lot of money and you want something to get started with, maybe check them out. We talked about the PSA Dagger and PSA Rock already, which is great. And that might be almost the end of our list right there. I'm just looking through my notes. I jumped ahead for the PSA stuff, as you can probably tell from my listing that off. And I'll give you one more bonus one to end this thing. The Palmetto State Armory, to bring it back to them, Retro H&R M16. So this is straight from American Firearms. The company that owns PSA grabbed some legacy gun maker names from the Remington Outdoors Federal bankruptcy sale, including Harrington and Richardson. While this sparked a lot of folks to think PSA would be making break action shotguns for the budget market, they've gone a whole new direction. See, back in the 1960s, H&R made some M16 A1 rifles for the Army during Vietnam, as Colt needed some help filling the needs of Uncle Sam. Using no deck spuds, retro black rifle expertise, PSA recently acquired them, they are sending a classic H&R marked AR throwback to the market. Receivers and barrels are to be available this spring, complete rifles available later in 22. No price was mentioned. If you look at it, it just looks straight up like an M16A1. It is pretty. And that's one I want my hands on. That's a fun capper for the end of this list. So
yeah, I'm not going to say it's destiny, but we did just talk about the M16 last week in our Name That Gun segment.
We definitely did.
This could be.
And I'm excited. It's sweet serendipity is all it is. With PSA, you don't know what the price is going to be because they focus on budget, which is great, as we've talked about a little bit earlier in the program. But something like this, I have to imagine, will be on the upper end of their price points. So that's going to be it. That is our top, I think, 16. I was tallying them, but I was also talking and got excited a few times. So I think it's our top 16 firearms from SHOT Show 2022. We love SHOT Show. We love getting the chance to share this stuff with you. Thank you again to all of the sources previously mentioned. I tried to be sure to be absolutely positive to mention pull quotes when we use them. But if you ever want to look up those websites and take a read at those articles, you should know what to find them. Just look up SHOT Show and then those particular publications. You should get the lowdown. So that is going to be it for that segment. But now we've got a tale from the range. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And this one is actually a personal antidote. The year was 2021, and for Christmas, my father had gotten all the men in my family a Groupon to go to a gun range. Now, I live sort of in the country, and literally days before, we had just gifted my brother-in-law his own backyard gun range, which my father actually helped us build. So we were all a little confused why he decided to get a Groupon to go to a gun range when we just built one. But I digress. So this gun range was about an hour away. It was about an hour's drive. And to be honest, the day of, we had to wake up kind of early to get there. We wanted to sort of beat the lunch rush, of course. And so we were all a little, I don't want to say on edge, but we kind of were.
Yep. You were on a mission.
Yes. So we are on a mission, single-minded, totally focused, after we got an early lunch. But after that, then we made our way to this gun range, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat with my father, and I'm holding the GPS, and I see where it finally tells us to turn in. And, you know, I'm one of the only people that can see this. So I have this look of horror just kind of just come over my face. There's horror, confusion. Felt like Brando at the end of Apocalypse Now. But and everyone else was kind of confused because we were pulling into a gas station. I'm confused. I'm thinking, okay, maybe did the GPS steer us the wrong way? Everyone else in the car, they're kind of thinking that we were just getting gas. It turns out we were at the right place.
It was it. Was it a gas station gun range?
Yes, sir.
I have seen a gas station urgent care before.
What? Wait, I think Yakinville has one. Wait, no, yeah. That's a Arby's urgent care. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're right. That's actually what I was referencing, was the Arby's urgent care. So you're correct about that. And that is exactly what I was thinking of. But you had a gas station gun. Was the gun range out back? Was it a very large gas station?
It looked like a pretty small gas station. I think they had maybe six pumps. So, you know, it wasn't a big gas station. It wasn't really that big of a building, or at least from the front. So we pull into the side, and my dad just sort of cheerfully is like, oh, well, we made it, son. And so we all start kind of piling out of the car, and we see this metal door on the side with sort of a sign on it. And we knock. Wait a couple minutes. And there's a couple people waiting outside too. So we knew that we were at the right place, or what we thought was the right place. All of a sudden, this metal door swings open and there's a dark stairwell. I'm thinking that this is it. I'm thinking that this was my dying day. So despite every instinct telling me to not, I decided to go down these steps. And turns out they had a gun range in the basement of this gas station. But on the bright side, one, I actually ended up having a great time. Two, it was my first time getting to fire a Glock 19.
Oh, cool. And, very cool.
Yeah. And I actually shot pretty darn well. And third, at the time I was talking to my now girlfriend, and at the end of the day, I was able to get a picture with my nice grouping on my target and send it to her. And it made me feel pretty good. So all in all, it ended up being a fine trip. There wasn't really a punchline to punctuate the story. I just thought it was interesting going to this gun range that was underneath the gas station.
Yeah, that is a good story, I think. Oh, I've got one more little nugget for you. It's not a tale from the range, but a follow-up on something we referenced earlier. You know how I mentioned the XDE way back, maybe 15 years ago at this point in the podcast? The XDE has actually been discontinued.
Really?
Yeah, which I think validates my take on its ergonomics a little bit. Although I will say I am a little bummed by it. I thought it was really cool. But the apparently that's a very recent development. It's only been released for 3.5 years. And I don't know. It's kind of a bummer. But the XDE is, if you have one, you're now holding a collectible. How about that? Okay. So for now, that is the gun rack. Stay tuned next week. We will be talking about the answer to our trivia question, along with quite a bit more. I'm trying to remember what next week's topic is off the top of my head. Drew, do you know?
So I'll give you a hint as to what next week's episode is about. It has associations with a certain holiday celebrating love.
Yep. That's our hint, and I'll tell you what, it is a it's not a fun event that we centered around, but it's a fun episode. So stay tuned for that, and have fun out there. We'll see you at the range.
Sonoran Desert Institute is an online school located at 1555 West University Drive in Tempe, Arizona. Accredited by the DEAC. For more information, please call 800-336-8939 or visit sdi.edu.